This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, the Center for Medical Progress released its 10th undercover video of Planned Parenthood, revealing more about how the nation's largest abortion provider is trafficking in baby body parts. Now, this release further stokes the calls for taxpayers to be out of this forced partnership with Planned Parenthood. Arizona Congressman Paul Gozar joins me with an update in just a moment. And speaking of Planned Parenthood, the second GOP presidential debate was held this week in California at the Reagan Library. How did the candidates do? Well, I'll be joined later by Brett O'Donnell, who has been a coach to a number of presidential candidates in these debates. We'll talk about who did well and maybe who didn't. We'll also talk about the issues that surfaced in that second primary debate. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's topics, our guests, by visiting the website. Also, let me mention, coming up this next weekend, the Values Voter Summit, you can find out more at the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, earlier this week, another video was released by the Center for Medical Progress. In this latest video, it exposes more about Planned Parenthood and their selling of baby body parts. Now, the effort in Congress to end this forced partnership with this group is, it's growing rapidly. The only questions that loom are, what's the best approach to take? How long will it take to get it done? How many members of Congress are committed to defunding this group? Joining me now with the latest on the effort to defund Planned Parenthood and to get taxpayers out of this forced partnership with Planned Parenthood is a member of the House Freedom Caucus, and he's also a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Arizona, Paul Gozar. Paul, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so very much, Tony, and thanks for all that you do in regards to the motion and movement that we're actually seeing this intentional genocide by Planned Parenthood of unborn children.
You'd have to say, Paul, this is a unique moment in which the curtain has been pulled back, and there are really no questions now. There's no question about what's being done. The question is, what are we going to do as a result of what we've seen?
Absolutely, but the big part here, Tony, is that how many more Americans still have not seen these videos? It is behooving upon them to actually see this. Most Americans learn by vision, and you have to see this. Otherwise, you're condoning this atrocity that's occurring. And the intentional application in which they're manipulating these children, these unborn children, in order to have access to these body parts is absolutely grotesque.
Right, which, by the way, as we've talked about, is really a violation of patient care. They are changing the procedures in order to harvest these parts of these babies in a way that they're more usable and more value.
Absolutely. And when you see in these videos a child that they have manipulated out, whose foot is moving, his leg is moving, its heart is pounding, as they manipulate its head so that it can take brain parts. You can't be a human and not be able to say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. This isn't a mass of cells. This is a human life. Mm-hmm. This is a child. This is an unborn child. And we are utilizing this in the most grotesque fashion. It is illegal to manipulate these fetuses, these children, in order for harvesting. And we have to do our due diligence, Tony, on a couple of the committees, and one of which I'm on government oversight, is going to be doing their investigation. But this week, what we're doing is we're passing two bills. Diane Black, who's been very instrumental in this process, is attempting to pass a bill that would defund Planned Parenthood and still keep that money in the process for women's health that doesn't do abortions. The second one is Trent Franks, which is strengthening the protections of those babies that do survive an abortion that are born alive, so that they have all the rights that all the rest of us are due underneath the Constitution.
You know, what's interesting about that, Congressman Gozar, is this week, as those two bills began to make their way through, the White House released their statement of administration policy, and they came out very strongly opposed to both of those measures you just described. And, you know, I can see them, because of their political, you know, calculations, you know, just being quiet. But this was actually one of the most strongly worded statements of administration policy in opposition to these, what I would call, very reasonable and marginal bills. I mean, they're good bills, but I mean, they're not far-reaching in what they seek to accomplish. And it just shows how radical this administration is in terms of its promotion of abortion and the ending of human lives.
Oh, this administration, Tony, is absolutely setting the stage, condoning the atmosphere. In regards to this environment that we see, not only disrespect at the end of life or because you're a Christian, but because you are an unborn child,
mm-hmm.
You see the spectrum that we've all feared for, is that if there's no respect for life at the beginning, there's no respect for life at the end. There's no respect for minorities. There's no respect for religious preferences. This is problematic. This is what this president's been all about. His whole presidency is marred by this. And that's why it's so important to see these videos, Tony. You know, we now understand that less than 5% of America has actually seen this video. And so I behoove people to be provocative, to provide these videos for people to see. It's uncomfortable, but it should be uncomfortable, because when you're murdering children, it will be uncomfortable. And so from that standpoint, I urge everybody to see this, because it definitely calls people into question. These are very important votes to come forward, because it makes people stand up and be counted. If you don't respect life at the beginning, there should be no disrespect for life at any time other. And that's, this has been the mantra for the Democratic Party in this regards, or across the board. And we need to call them on this.
Mm. You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this weekend. Congressman Paul Gozar, my guest here in this segment of the program. Congressman, I want to ask you this question, because I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about, now having seen what has been taking place behind the closed doors of Planned Parenthood, an organization funded with our tax dollars, that if we pass on this moment, that this will just lead to a further coarsening of our society and of our culture.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. You know, this is such a moment in time. You know, we've got the Pope coming next week to talk about it. And I've been very disappointed in the Pope, to be perfectly honest with you. This is a time for the Pope to concentrate on a message of religious tolerance, on the sanctity of life and the respect for life. If there's anybody that can call this out, it's the Pope.
Yes.
But when we see the outlines of what she's proposing to talk about, we don't see that. You're only given moments of time like this every rarely. And that's why vision is so much. You know, every mother and father ought to look at these videos and then go clutch their children and hold them tight. This is a respect for another life. This is a moment. And that's why I hope that people pursue this application, to make sure they see the videos, because it is wrenching. And you don't sleep. But you know, that tells me a lot. When somebody doesn't sleep, their conscience is working against them. Because that was the core fundamental of this country, that we have these unalienable rights to all. And that means the unborn. That means the children that we're seeing in these videos that are intentionally manipulated and harvesting for profit on their body parts. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. But you can't, you know, my mom always told me something, Tony, that if you see something wrong and you do nothing, you're as guilty as the person doing the wrong.
Absolutely.
She's so right. And it's such a proverb to follow.
And that is where we are as a country. And that's why I think this is a critical moment. And grateful, Congressman, for you and your colleagues that are leading out on this. Congressman Paul Gozar, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us on, Tony.
All right, folks, up against a break. On the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about the presidential debate, which took place this week as well. Interesting insight from Brett O'Donnell, who was a coach to several presidential candidates. Don't go away. We're right back on the other side of this break with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this weekend. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on social media, on Twitter, you can follow me at T Perkins. And by the way, at the website, TonyPerkins.com, there's information about the Values Voter Summit, which is coming up this next weekend. And if you're not already registered, there's still a little bit of room. It's filling up. It's probably going to be our largest gathering yet, but I'll make room for you. I'll just like church service. I'll make everybody kind of move into the middle so there's room on the side. So anyway, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and register for and find out more information about the Values Voter Summit. Because, by the way, we do have Clerk of Court Kim Davis and her husband Joe. We'll be there Friday night. Also, Joel Rosenberg just confirmed he's going to be there. And David DeLeiden, he's the guy behind all of these videos that's exposing Planned Parenthood, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment. He's going to be there. I'm going to interview him on the stage, and you're going to get the inside information on his undercover operation. That's at the Values Voter Summit coming up this next weekend. All right. This past week, in fact, Wednesday night, in fact, it was the second GOP presidential debate, which was held at the Reagan Library in California. It was, I don't know if you watched it or not, but it was very insightful. It was in addition to the group last time on the main stage. Carly Fiorina joined the main stage. There was two debates. The earlier debate had four candidates. The second had 11. I'm going to talk about that in a minute because I think it was absolutely wrong the way they have structured this. Topics range from Planned Parenthood, Iran nuclear agreement, immigration, and even Kim Davis. And so there was a lot covered in the second debate. It was 3 hours long, a lot of information covered, and I think somewhat informative. Well, joining me now to take a deeper look and to analyze the debate, talk about winners, losers, he's a former chief strategist for Michelle Bachmann when she was running for president. He's the current president of O'Donnell and Associates, Brett O'Donnell. Brett, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
And I also need to mention that he was the former debate coach at Liberty University, my alma mater, in which he led the debate team to several championships. So, Brett, you were there Wednesday night for the debate. Give me your initial thoughts.
Well, I thought, first of all, I thought it was a long night. I thought the debate might have been a little bit long. There was a total of 5 hours worth of debating. I thought Carly Fiorina had a great night in the second debate. I thought Lindsey Graham had a great night in the first debate, talking about why he'd be prepared to best be commander-in-chief on day one.
You know,
I thought both of them had great nights on Wednesday.
I agree. I watched Carly, and she just hit her pace immediately and was right. Just felt right at home with those other candidates, even though last time she was not on that main stage. I want to ask you about that because that was one of the things that struck me, was that I know it was a big stage, 11 people. That's a lot of people to fit into a debate. But what would have four more been? I just think it was wrong to have two different debates because it really, I think, is dismissive of those other four candidates.
I couldn't agree more, Tony. I think that that the folks that were in the first debate, just four of them, a couple of them really add a lot to the discussion of ideas that the Republican Party wants to have. For instance, Lindsey Graham adds a dimension to the foreign policy discussion that I don't think any other candidate is his equal. And I think Bobby Jindal adds a discussion of issues that are important to Christians that that I don't think others can discuss like him. So, you know, I do think that it the next time we ought to put them all on the same stage and let them all debate. If we're going to have one big debate, let's make it one big debate. And I think that that would have made for a better debate than even what we had on Wednesday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I found interesting in watching both debates, on the first one you had Bobby Jindal, Rick Santorum, you had former New York Governor Pataki, and then you had Senator Lindsey Graham. Then, you know, the 11 candidates in the second debate. What was interesting is that there's clearly an effort to connect with evangelical social conservative voters. In the first debate, Rick Santorum and Bobby Jindal clearly going, taking their message to that group. But in the second debate, you had the same thing taking place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That I think in both debates, you saw an effort by candidates to reach out to social conservatives and evangelicals. Particularly there was extended discussions of the Planned Parenthood issue and what's the best way to defund Planned Parenthood. And you had a discussion of Kim Davis and her situation and gay marriage. So I do think that you had candidates really talking to the social conservative audience. And I think that's a good thing for us.
Well, and what's interesting about that, Brett, is that you have the media saying with each election cycle, well, social conservatives are not that much of a factor. The candidates really don't care about them. They're not an influence. But the candidates know who they have to reach to win the Republican primary. And when you've got about 50% of the primary voters being made up of social conservatives, they have to address those issues, and it's important because when they address these in the election process, they can be held accountable to the statements that they make when they campaign. Is that not right?
Oh, absolutely. Debates are a test, really, of the validity of candidates' positions. So I kind of look at it in reverse. Debates allow the testing of a candidate's true position on every issue. You take, for instance, back in 2000 when George Bush was tested on his faith and he was asked a question in a debate about his faith or who was his most admired philosopher. And you saw his answer to that question. And so, you know, I think that the debates serve to test out the positions, particularly on social issues, to see if there's, you know, any there in terms of what the, you know, substance to what the candidates actually say about those issues.
You're listening to Washington Watch, the weekend edition. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, joined by Brett O'Donnell. He is a consultant, but really his expertise is in debate and speech. Used to be at Liberty University as the debate coach there. Worked with several presidential candidates, including Michelle Bachmann in the past. I want to play a clip for you, Brett, which I think, for me, as I watched the debates, was probably one of the top lines of the night. In fact, when I hear a line and say, man, I wish I would have thought of that, I know it's a good line. And this is Carly Fiorina, who was on the main stage Wednesday night. I want to play this clip and get your thoughts.
I'd like to link these two issues, both of which are incredibly important, Iran and Planned Parenthood. One has something to do with the defense of the security of this nation. The other has something to do with the defense of the character of this nation. You have not heard a plan about Iran from any politician up here. Here's my plan. On day one in the Oval Office, I will make two phone calls. The first to my good friend Bibi Netanyahu to reassure him we will stand with the state of Israel. The second to the Supreme Leader to tell him that unless and until he opens every military and every nuclear facility to real anytime, anywhere inspections by our people, not his, we, the United States of America, will make it as difficult as possible to move money around the global financial system. We can do that. We don't need anyone's cooperation to do it. And every ally and every adversary we have in this world will know that the United States of America is back in the leadership business, which is how we must stand with our allies. As regards Planned Parenthood, anyone who has watched this videotape, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking. while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. This is about the character of our nation. And if we will not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us.
Brett, here she joins both the foreign policy issue, the biggest issue happening right now, and the biggest domestic issue, Planned Parenthood. And I think she does it in a remarkable way about how this challenges us as a nation to the very core.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that the ability to link the Planned Parenthood issue with an issue of foreign policy helps folks understand the importance of both of those issues and why we should consider them and candidates' positions on those issues in this next election. You know, her ability to talk about the Planned Parenthood issue from the notion that it's a test of our character as a nation lets folks know really just how important that issue is. The other thing it helped uncover for Carly particularly is it helps give us a window into how she thinks about the issues. And so, you know, I think that ought to hearten social conservatives for them to know that she sees on balance those issues as equally important. And so I thought that was a very big moment for her because it was not only telling in terms of and eloquent in terms of how it was expressed, but it was also telling in terms of her personal thought on the issues. And, you know, that's what a good debater can do, is not only talk about their positions, but give us a window into who they are as people.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I also picked up from her, I mean, she had really, I think, made an intentional effort to show that she has a handle in the military, talking about the troop strengths, talking about 30 Marine battalions, increasing the naval fleet back up to a pre-Obama power. You know, I think people think she's a woman. Maybe she doesn't know these things that much. I think she actually kind of looked like a U.S. modern version of Margaret Thatcher. She was pretty strong.
She was very strong on that stage last night. She was the clear winner in the second debate, without a doubt. I mean, it was clear that she has been studying issues. She knows the issues very well. She was strong and confident. That came across. As I said before, she was personally revealing. She talked about losing a child tragically to drug overdose and some of the personal challenges that she has faced. And so all of those things help us get access to really the three reasons why we vote for a candidate. The first being, are they competent? The second being, do they share our values? And the third being, do we like them?
Yeah.
And I think she really hit all three of those dimensions very well in the debate last night.
All right, we're almost out of time. Brett, and I want to just kind of run down and get thoughts on some of the other candidates. Donald Trump, how do you think he did?
I thought he had a very poor night, to be honest with you. On the, you know, the first part of the debate was kind of a food fight with Donald Trump, with everyone attacking him, and I thought he handled that fine. But then when it got to substantive issues, he kind of disappeared. And so while he dominated the sort of process and bickering back and forth, when it came to talking about substantive issues, I didn't think he had a very good night. In fact, I thought he was very poor and thin on policy issues.
Well, I think that's revealing. Rand Paul.
You know, Rand fulfilled his promise to go after Donald Trump, and I thought he had his moments, but he also sort of disappeared from the debate for large segments at a time, and that's never good, and really didn't have a moment where he seized command of the stage.
Mike Huckabee.
You know, I thought Mike had a couple of really good moments in the debate. The problem is Mike is so humble that he needs to be more assertive in getting his voice heard on that stage. I mean, I think Mike is a very eloquent debater, but he needs to be a little more aggressive if he's going to be viewed as a winner.
What about Senator Marco Rubio?
I thought Senator Rubio had an excellent night. He was very good on foreign policy. In fact, in my opinion, the best in terms of talking about foreign policy, extremely eloquent on several issues.
Very confident. He comes across as confident, poised, never appears to be ruffled by anything.
Yep, I totally agree. I thought he had an outstanding night again.
What about Senator Ted Cruz?
I thought Senator Cruz had a good night as well. He showed why he's, you know, he's got debate in his background. He was a college debater. He's very eloquent on the stage. He's just got to be careful about letting Trump steal too much of his thunder. And I think that that's a problem that he has to deal with a little better in the next debates.
In my opinion on Jeb Bush is that this debate did not help him like the last one. I think the expectations for him have been higher than what he's been able to deliver.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he was good in both debates. Jeb has gotten better as the debate wore on. The unfortunate thing is people really pay attention to the front end of debates most.
Mm-hmm.
And viewership tends to fall off as a debate moves on, especially a three-hour debate.
Yeah, it was
long. So while he was better toward the end, I thought he was better this debate, but still not meeting the expectations that he needs to.
All right, up against the clock here, Kasich and Governor Christie.
I thought Governor Christie had a pretty good night. I thought Governor Kasich wasn't thinking about his audience. He sounded like he was running in a general election rather than a Republican primary.
Yeah, I came away with the thought, in fact, I tweeted this out watching the debate, I'm not sure what he would fight for. He always talked about, he sounded somewhat like not a community organizer, but a global organizer. He kept talking about we got to build with our allies. He left me scratching my head. Brett O'Donnell, thanks so much for joining us this weekend. I, as always, appreciate your insights because I like to know who has the ability to communicate most effectively and win people over. And, of course, you're one of the best at teaching that. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Brett O'Donnell. To find out more about Brett and his work, go to TonyPerkins.com and you can follow the links over. All right, folks, out of time for this week, but once more, let me encourage you, visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about the Values Voter Summit coming up this next weekend. Also, information there about my book, No Fear. It's a great read, encouraging. I would encourage you to get a copy to share with young people in particular, because they need to be inspired to live their lives, their faith, with no fear of man, only a reverence for God. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.